Every human being on Earth is fighting an unseen battle. Everybody that you see is carrying an invisible burden. And it's possible to get so caught up and obsessed with my own story that I never think about what's going on in other people's stories. But the paradox is that if I notice and care about other people's stories, my own story will be healed and find meaning in much deeper ways than if all I do is just obsess on me. This is part of the secret, part of the paradox, part of the power of the fellowship of the withered hand, where all of us, like that man with a shriveled hand in the story of Jesus' healing, bring our inadequacies, our guilt, our failures into the light, and then we see and know and care deeply about other people, and we get healed together. I'm looking at that these days through the Old Testament book of Job. John Golingay is a great Old Testament scholar and professor. And he talks about teaching out of Job at the same time that he was carrying a deep burden. His wife, Anne, had multiple sclerosis and then went through severe seizures, ended up in a wheelchair with all of her gifts severely restricted, not even able to remember what day it was. And he loved her deeply. A student who was living with pain of his own asked me if what the story of Job meant to me in the context of Anne's illness. And I fell into taking the class, he writes, through the story of Job in the light of that. I could do it only through tears, because that is the way that I am. And the student was weeping his own tears, as were one or two others who had their own pains. It was the oddest teaching experience of my career, he writes. And somehow, when our stories get known and brought into the light and connected with each other, something happens that cannot happen otherwise, tears and healing. And this is a deep part of what's being expressed in the book of Job. I want to name one facet of it today. Again, I'm very indebted to Eleanor Stump and her book, Wandering in the Darkness. And this has to do with all of the stories going on in the world and God's care for them all. If you know the book of Job at all, you may know that it's a story tucked inside of another story. It's the story of Job. That's most of it. But there's a framing story. After the first couple of verses when we're introduced to Job, we are told that somehow, somewhere in the heavenly places, in the cosmic realm, hard to know how much theology to draw from this, John Golingay says, but one day the angels or the sons of God presented themselves to the Lord, and Satan also came with them. Eleanor notes that the implication here seems to be that the Satan was gone, that he was somehow alienated from God. Now, the New Testament has a lot more to say about the figure of the devil. In the Old Testament, this is kind of a shadowy figure. Satan is not a name. It's more of a title. The adversary or the accuser, a figure who is posing skeptical questions. But Eleanor notes, seems to be estranged from God. And so God does something actually quite tender. And you might ask yourself right now, how do you think God's heart is toward real bad people? Well, let's go all the way towards Satan. God says, where have you been? Very striking. This is precisely the same sort of thing God does from the beginning after the fall with people that he cares for. Adam is hiding after that first sin, and God asks, Adam, where are you? That's an invitation for Adam to reflect and enter back into a relationship with God. Cain wants to kill Abel, and God says to him, why are you angry? That's an invitation. That's like a good therapist does. God is the first therapist. And strikingly, Eleanor says, he is doing with this, with Satan, wanting to invite Satan. Where have you been? Why don't you come home? And they get into a discussion about Job, and you may know then the framing part of the story is Job's going to go through this enormous amount of suffering. We'll talk more about that. I cannot explain why it happens, but part of what's going on is Job's ability to navigate suffering with honesty, integrity, and faithfulness has cosmic implications. through that suffering, he becomes a man of unbelievable faith and integrity and courage who has inspired now billions of people across thousands of years in ways that would not have happened if he had not suffered. Doesn't explain the suffering, just says there was a redemptive power. There was something that was going on there. There was a broader meaning to it. And part of it was God was using Job to show Satan's cynicism. You know, the only reason that Job loves you is just quid pro quo. You're nice to him, so he gives you devotion. God is saying no. God, in a way, trusts Job real early on. So God is pointing out that Job is expressing a kind of life that could be available to anybody, even to the Satan if he wanted it. Why don't you come home? Now, at the same time, that it looks like Job is just kind of being used as a pawn in this odd story between God and Satan. At the same time, God is directly connected to caring for Job. Ends up having the longest conversation with Job about that God has with any human being. Honors him immensely in that way. Commends him in remarkable ways. Blesses him in remarkable ways. And Eleanor Stump talks about it like this. That it's like in the book of Job's, there are stories within stories. Kind of like Russian dolls, where one doll is nested in another doll. Or she uses the image, if you know mathematics, of what are called fractals. Apparently, there are some sets of points where if you graph them out, and then you take any one little detail of that graph, one section of it, it will have the same curve, it'll have the same look as the graph as a whole. And she talks about this fractal nature of the book of Job, that God is in a loving relationship at that beginning of the story, and that frames his relationship with Job. And then when he's talking with Job and talks about his relationship with the creation, as we will see, you see that same picture, God like a parent, caring and loving over and over. And you may know, if you know that story, Job's children die. And that feels like, well, that's unfair because they're just pawns in this story. But she says, actually, each one of them would have their own story. And that one also could be plotted out. And they all will be the object of God's love. And God uses them not only as a means to an end in Job's life, but as an end in themselves. And that's true for all of us. Everybody that you know has a story. That's what I want to say today. Everybody has a story. And God is so big that he's able to be at work to both use my life and other people's lives and also to be working through other people in my own life. So today, just recognize everybody that you see has a story. Everybody is fighting an invisible battle. And whatever limps and wounds that you might have, God wants to use you. And when we seek to love, when we seek to do the right thing with God's help, we step into a larger reality, into a much bigger story. I recently got driven home when I was at a conference by somebody who spent most of his life working in places where the church is heavily persecuted and lots of population is under quite a lot of oppression. And so naming the place is not possible, but he was flying a plane there, and planes were quite rare in this country. And he went to his plane one day, and somebody driving a truck had backed into it and crumpled it. So it was useless. And you might imagine this was quite a devastating thing. And the soldier that was running the place where that plane was asked him, "Do you want the truck driver killed?" And that was not a possibility he had thought of. She said, "No, I don't want that. This is very difficult, and we'll have to work to replace this plane and get the money for it." And so, but no, he's forgiven. I mean, he might have to do things to make reparations, but he is forgiven. I want him cared for, not killed. Fast forward 2 years in this country now, there was an airport, and this man, as a pilot, and the plane that they had gotten was able to have space at the airport, but it was very, very crowded. So he went to the head of the airport and asked, you know, could I find hangars or someplace where our plane could be housed? And the head of the airport said, well, it's very difficult. You know, we don't have much space, but I'll bring in the crew foreman and ask him what might be possible. and he brings in the crew foreman. Guess who the crew foreman was? It was the truck driver who had destroyed the plane a couple of years ago and been forgiven. And they got a very nice hangar in that airport. Now, when we see and know and care about somebody else's story, when we offer forgiveness or generosity, we step into a larger reality. And the God who made the heavens and the earth, who is larger than we can imagine and better than we can conceive, is at work in and through us. So today, just notice the person that you're with and think about their story. I walked into a convenience store a couple days ago and there was a man behind the counter, and I don't know what had caused it, but his face was badly disfigured, maybe from a fire or something else. And my first instinct was, oh, this is awkward to look at. I don't want him to feel awkward, so I'll just look away. And then the thought that came immediately is, no, just look him right in the eye and have a conversation. Ask him how his day is going. Pray for him to be blessed. Because he's got a story. He's somebody's son. Everybody has a story. Part of the message of the fellowship of the withered hand is, God is deeply concerned with every single story of every human being. And as we will see, not just that, with all of his creation. And God wants to heal your story. And God wants to use the pain and suffering of your story in ways that, just like with Job, right now, we have no idea, we cannot conceive, but have a significance far beyond our little lives. So today, notice and care about the story of people around you. We live in a fractal world, story after story after story. Stretch out your hand.
Hey, I'm Tim, and I'm a part of the team here at Become New. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future videos from John. And if you like this video, you could find hundreds more at our website, becomenew.com. There you can also sign up for the email that goes along with each video, or sign up to receive a text alert whenever a new video is released. We wanted to let you know that John's releasing a new book called Steps this February, which is available for pre-order on Amazon right now. But it's based on a series we did a few years ago called Ashes to Beauty. I'm sure some of you remember it. And it's going to be incredible. It's based on the 12 steps as a model for discipleship. And so we hope that you'll get that book. You can find out the details at becomenew.com/steps. Lastly, if you have a prayer request, be sure to text it to us so we can pray for you. You can text it to us at 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.